Blog Talk Radio.
Heather Headley, and he is. This is Gail Delicious Johnson, and welcome to Delicious Talk. My co-host will be along shortly. Hopefully everybody's having a beautiful evening. I certainly am. We're going to get right into the show because I have a very, very special, talented guest on the show, and I'm going to give you first a little rundown of who my guest is. Tamisha Tucker. She was born to Freddie and Francina Tucker on August the 8th, 1975. She was born in Washington, D.C. and resides in Glenard, Maryland. During her adolescent years, she knew at an early age what her gifts were aspiring her in her senior year book to be a journalist. She has a degree in computer information system and is currently attending UMUC for her degree in communications journalism. She has written her first book, Single and Saved, in PG County. She has two beautiful children, Sabrina, age 11, and Reginald, age 5. Tamisha Tucker has stepped outside of the box with her new novel, Revenge Interrupted. It's an ugly story that she tells with class, taste, and integrity. Her desire was to write a novel that anybody would pick up and not be able to put down. She stated, "I wanted to give the reader a look into the minds and hearts of a broken person. I wanted to mirror back to the reader the lessons accountability, redemption, and forgiveness." Revenge Interrupted is due to be released April of 2011. She also composed a short film based off of the book, also titled Revenge Interrupted. Her goal for this book is to produce and direct an HBO movie based off of the novel. Wow, that's very interesting. So with, I see my co-host is on the line. Let me bring her in. Rhea?
Hello.
Hi, how are you, dear?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fantastic this evening. Today was a beautiful day here. It was a little, it wasn't too hot, but, you know, it was hot nonetheless, but it still was a beautiful day. What about you?
It was a good day weather-wise. Busy as all heck, but a good day nonetheless.
Really, did you hear the biography of our guest?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
It sounds very interesting. I really would like to find out all the information, her turning her book into a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, without further ado, we're going to bring on Ms. Tucker.
Okay.
Tamisha, are you there?
Hey, ladies, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
How's Ms. Gail Delicious and hi, Rhea?
Hi.
Everything's good here. What about with you? How was your day today?
Everything's good. I'm good. I'm a little achy. I got a personal trainer now I've been working with, and so I'm a little achy. But other than that, I'm pretty good.
Okay. Everybody's getting those personal trainers. Where
are
you working out at?
It's the only way I'm going to do it. Well, he has different locations that he works out at. We've been at a park for this week. We've been at a park. I think next week we're going to be at a facility, at an actual gym. But yeah, I'm beat.
Oh, okay. Well, I can understand that. Okay, well, we're going to get right on into it. Tell our listeners a little bit about Tamisha, besides what I had already informed them of. Is there anything else you want them to know?
I'm a writer. I love to write. Everything has been up to this point has been Christian-based. Even still, this novel definitely plants seeds in the lives of other people. But I just love to write and to utilize my gifts to plant seeds and just to be a blessing to others. And I'm just excited to be here today with you ladies.
Okay, well, your first book, Single and Saved in PG County, you want to give us a little background on that book and what prompted you to write that?
Yeah. That book actually started out as a tell-all novel. I was venting basically in the novel, exposing a lot of things, a lot of wrongs that I felt that had been done to me by my ex-husband, his family, and his friends, and different people. And in the midst of me writing this novel, you know, God really touched my heart and told me that if I was going to expose some things, I need to do it with dignity and integrity. And that I need to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And so I scrapped that novel, and I started to write the self-help inspirational book, Single and Saved in PG County, self-help Christian inspirational book, let me add. And in writing this book, it helped me to realize that I was just as much to blame for the demise of my marriage as he was. So it was a blessing in a lot of different ways.
Okay, so in this book, Single and Saved in PG County, what are some of the topics in it that you wrote about?
Forgiveness and acceptance, being able to forgive your significant other or your ex, and acceptance that you can move on into other healthy relationships, not just romantic. But when you walk around with bitterness and anger and unforgiveness in your heart, it just builds and it affects all your relationships. And at a time, it was affecting all my relationships. Not, you know, I didn't have any romantic relationships when I was going through my divorce, but my friendships, my relationships with my siblings, with my parents even. And so it addresses being able to really, really reflect. And it's a painful thing when you have to sit and think about some of the things that you might have done to cause a situation. It's, you know, reflection can be painful, but it's also a wonderful thing in the sense that it helps you to, once you realize that, you know, you were, you've done some things also, you're able to really forgive and say, you know what, I didn't do everything right. I didn't cross every T and dot every I. But, you know, you learn and you keep on moving and, you know, you move on.
So what was the feedback that you got off of Single and Saved in PG County?
It's so crazy because now I'm off to this new project, and it's just like people are starting to call more than ever for Single and Saved in PG County. People are asking me to, you know, head up events, to speak at single events. I spoke at a Mother's Day brunch last year. I was the author of the month in April at First Baptist Church of Glenarden, which is a huge church with a huge congregation, and I was honored to do that. But it's like I didn't forget all about the book, but, you know, you kind of get wrapped up in your new project, and then out of the woodwork comes all these other opportunities from four singles and saved in PG County, and it's just an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing.
What made you go the Christian route as opposed to fiction, maybe erotica or a different genre?
I think because that's just where I was at that point in my life. And, you know, being that the place of where I was, I think me being in the church, involved in the church, going to church, you know, really, really, for real, saved my life during that point. I know people don't like to, you know, admit about being weak and admit about being heartbroken, but, man, divorce is something. I literally felt like I was experiencing a death of sorts. And I know that that sounds dramatic and awful and, you know, all of those things, but in essence, that's what was basically happening to my family as I had always known it. And so it was a very painful and traumatic thing. And without Christ in my life, I wouldn't have been able to. I wouldn't have been able to get through it.
Okay, what is the age?
Sorry. I think that's where some people go wrong. At it is.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, it is experiencing a death.
Yeah.
The death of an entity.
Yes.
That was a living, breathing,
yes,
thriving thing that was part of you, that
mm-hmm.
will forever be. And you do go through the grieving process.
You do.
I was
like
one of them mm-hmm. that left the marriage,
mm-hmm.
but I never dealt with anything.
Mm-hmm.
And when he reemerged in my life 8 years later, I crashed and burned
mm-hmm.
and had to go through that whole process at that point before I could actually say bye. But
mm-hmm.
it is a death.
It is. It is. And I've even had people make me feel like, oh, my God, why would you say that? It's not that. Just move on. And I think that when you live your life by a specific worldview and a standard, I think that people who know God, who know Christ, who believe in God and believe in the fundamentals of how we're supposed to live, and those fundamentals include marriage, they understand that, you know, the Bible says, you know, when two are joined, they become one. And so if you're a whole person, when you join with another whole person, when you're no longer with that person, you're ripped apart and you're broken. It's not like, you know, you were one with this person all this time, and then one day you're just literally ripped apart, and it's like you're not, I'm not going to say half of a person, but you are broken in a sense, you know, and it takes time to heal and to bounce back from something like that.
Wow. Well, see, I've never been married, so I can't, or divorced, because I've never been married, but I really can't expound on that.
Mm-hmm.
But what is your age group for reading this book, or is it just for all ages?
For which one, Single and Saved or the new Single and Saved?
Single and Saved.
Single and Saved is for all ages. There's something in this book for everybody. There's something in this book for teenagers going through growing pains, who, you know, may be going through having to decide as to whether or not getting pregnant, having premarital sex, having to, you know, getting abortions and things of that nature. So there's something for everybody, from the young single adult or young adult or even adolescent, because it's very reader friendly. I talk about very real, very grown up situations, but at the same time, I keep it clean. And so anybody could read it. And there's, like I said, something for everybody, from a single woman to a divorcee to a single parent to an older woman who has already gone through all of these things and just really is just at a point in her life where she wants to find contentment. Or
what
if
would
she's
you...
even thinking of remarriage.
Okay. What would you say to the young girls nowadays, that is anything in the book, things that you would say to a young girl now that's having premarital sex or having sex period and getting pregnant? What are some of the things in that book that you would explain to these girls who are out here having premarital sex and getting pregnant?
A lot of things, because I talk about my own experience as a young adult with having premarital sex and even with abortion. And I just basically expound on what it really means when we engage in sexual activity. A lot of times we think that it's just a physical thing, when in reality it's really not. It's a really spiritual thing. Whether you love or care deeply for this person or not, you are connecting, and you will be connected. You're literally, you know, swapping DNA. And so this person becomes a part of your genetic makeup, in a sense. And I talk about the spiritual ramifications as well as the physical. I give a little bit of statistics about HIV and AIDS and other sexual venereal diseases. And so there's two sides to it. I think that everybody always focuses on just staying safe and being safe, but there's a spiritual thing also we never really talk about, and I talk about that in that book.
Okay. Is anything in there in the book about abstinence?
Because I practice abstinence celibacy, and just basically I don't have a chapter on abstinence, but I speak on it in the premarital sex chapter of the book. Just basically how you know your life is easier and you're able to see more clearly things that you wouldn't if you were having sex, because, you know, sex connects you to people that you shouldn't be connected to, and it clouds your vision.
Right. Well, writing Free and Single, Free and Saved in PG County, was that therapeutic for you?
It was. It was very therapeutic, and like I said, it helped me to really realize and understand that my ex-husband wasn't the only one who needed to do some apologizing, because a lot of times we think we're doing everything right because we are remaining faithful to the marriage as far as not cheating or not having extramarital affairs, when it's so much more than being a wife or a husband than not cheating. And
okay.
There was a lot of areas in my marriage that I fell short.
So was it after you wrote the book that you felt that you had some fault in the divorce as well, or was it before?
It was after. I was angry
denial.
Through the whole thing. I was angry, man. I was so mad. You know, I was angry through the whole entire divorce separation process, and I was so angry and bitter, and it was awful. It was awful, not just for me, but for the people that were close to me also.
So, being that you wrote the book and you got all that anger out, are you and your ex-husband, are you friends now, or it's like, you know, he's gone his way and you've gone yours?
You know, lately we've been able to, we go through phases. I mean, this thing it's so many phases to this thing that you have no idea. I mean, you think that you divorce a person and it's over, and then you know we get used to not being together, and then we get used to the idea of the other person, you know, seeing other people, and then you have to get used to the idea of boom, okay, somebody else is around, your kids, and what kind of person is this person, and you want to know what's going on, you want to know this person, and are they safe when they're with them, and you know, so it's just so many degrees of it. And we were going through this thing because he had started dating a young lady and the kids were going over there, and it's just a whole nother level of it. But we for the most part, I don't have any problems. I don't have anything against him. He's in a sense, he is my family still, and I still love him with the love of Christ. I don't have no hard feelings for him, and we've been actually getting along a lot better lately, and so that makes it a lot easier. It does.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
So we're gonna,
and it took us a long time to get here too.
Right. But I'm quite sure that now that the dust has settled, you guys are seeing, you know, much better. And since you wrote the book, it was therapeutic for you, and you're able to, well, I'm sure you've moved on, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're doing bigger and better things now. So with that being said, we're going to take a little break and come back, and then we're going to get into your second book and it turned movie.
Hello?
That's all.
Welcome back, everybody. That was Nick Ashford and Valerie Simpson. So satisfied. Those, they have been together forever, and I know they're happy. Okay, so getting back. They got to be happy or something's going right in their life.
Right. They won't be writing no books, no single and save books.
Oh, welcome back, everybody. This is a delicious talk, and my guest this evening is Tamisha Tucker. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. You have to dial a 1 before the 646. Okay, we're going to get into your next book, Interrupted Revenge. Now, what made you write that book?
Revenge Interrupted.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Basically,
Revenge Interrupted.
Yeah. It was just, you know, how you basically, you see a lot and you hear a lot. This book is basically a variety of different situations and circumstances that of people that I know, people that I know of, and me. And I won't tell you which is which, but it's just life. The stuff that happens in life that you say, man, hey, this needs to be a book. And so I just kind of came up with it. I guess for me, I've lost some people to HIV/AIDS. I know some people that have been affected by the disease, and so it's something that is near and dear to my heart. And so I started to write this book because I want people to know that when they have certain circumstances and when they've been faced with certain diagnoses, that life can go on, you know, and that it can be the beginning of a testimony and not the end of their life, that people will still love them, people will still love them and their life, you know, their life doesn't have to end. And I really, really, I think that people think not just that it's a death sentence, but like for the single people who like contract HIV or AIDS, they feel they, you know, a lot of them have felt that, you know, maybe I'll never get married, I'll never have children. And I just wanted to let people know in writing this book that, you know, can't stop destiny. You know, not a diagnosis, not a circumstance, not a situation. And I just wanted to encourage those people.
Okay, so is there a storyline to, is this a fictional
book? It's a fictional book. It's a fictional, it's definitely a fictional book. I took a whole bunch of different situations and scenarios that I've seen, that I've heard about, and I added my own twist to it, and I added my own little thing to it. So it's no one situation or circumstance is 100% true or valid. It's just stuff that I kind of tapped into and kind of made it something else, you know, tapped into it and made it something else. Mm-hmm.
Are there any characters in the book that are outstanding or, you know, what are some of the characters' positions in the book? Do you have characters in the book like that?
Okay, yeah. We have the main character in the book who is Savannah. Savannah Ray Bailey is her name. You want me to go down a list of characters or do you want me to tell you a little bit about each character?
Yeah, go down and tell me a little bit about each character.
Okay, Savannah Ray Bailey is a young lady who basically grew up as ward of the state, and she just kind of had a raw deal at life. She was raped at an early age by her mom's boyfriend, and her mom died a couple of years later, leaving her orphaned. And she kind of grew up in the system, and she grew up to be a beautiful young woman, but she basically lived like how she saw her mom live. Just using the resources of every man who wanted her and just using her physical attributes to get whatever it was she needed in life. And that's how she operated.
Mm-hmm. And the next character?
Okay. I'm sorry. Next character would be Langston Carter. Langston Carter is a prestigious attorney He's actually a partner at one of the biggest law firms in D.C. And Savannah is blessed to have an opportunity to work at this law firm, and she has a career now, and she meets up with Langston Carter when she decides she's trying to get her life together, no more men. And they just have this connection. And they fight it for a little while, but you can't, like I said, you can't stop destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Serena Colby, who the plot thickens. I don't know how much I should tell, though. Serena Colby is basically the wife of Alex Colby, who had an affair with Savannah once upon a time, and who also ends up being Savannah's half-sister.
Oh, wow.
So it's basically a tale about, you know, how what we do in life affects other people. It might not affect us directly, but down the line we're affected, and how these things in life affect people and change lives.
So Savannah and Langston, are there any other characters?
Yeah.
How many characters
and main characters, I think there's six. There's Savannah Ray Bailey, Langston Carter, then there's Benji. Benji is Savannah's ex-boyfriend / best friend, and they grew up in the system together. And he is one of the most prominent drug dealers in D.C. And and so she's on both sides of the line. She's like, she has one friend that's like the most prestigious drug dealer, and then you have the guy that works hand in hand with the DA's office, and he's a partner at the most prestigious law firm. And then you have Robert, who actually was the mom's boyfriend who raped her as a child.
Mm.
Who raped her as a child. He resurfaces. And he sees her, and he does not know when he sees her that it's her, but she knows all too well that it's him.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Yep. So those are the main characters. Yeah.
Okay,
in the book, and they're in the film as well.
Okay. Now, how did you? When did you decide that you wanted this to be a movie? How did that come about?
Well, I had been in contact. I met this guy by the name of Derek Ross. We did a radio show, an online radio show, together on I Am for Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And we met, and we kind of kept in touch, because I always said, you know, I was going to do a short film off of Single and Saved in PG County, but I just couldn't. I was trying to get a script together, and it just wouldn't come together. So something said, you know what, wait a year, write your novel, and do the film based off the novel. Well, a year goes by. I finished the novel in September. So we're coming up on a year that this novel has been completed. But there's so much to editing and everything. So the novel has been completed, and I was thinking about calling them. Didn't know if I should, because I knew I didn't really have any resources to produce a quality film. I just didn't have any money. I didn't have any equipment. And so I'm like, how am I going to start the ball rolling on something like this? And I have absolutely no resources. And yet, you know, an inner voice, I won't call it what it is, the Holy Spirit just kept telling me to just jump out there and do it. And I didn't do it. And so I said, because I just figured it was crazy for me to even try, just knowing how my resources were looking at the time. And so he called me out of the blue, and he called me right around the time that I was thinking that maybe we should get it started. So when he called me, I said, you know what, let's just see how far we can go with it. So I said, we held auditions at Peaches Cafe and Lounge in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. People came out. We cast the main character, Savannah Ray Bailey, which is Shanita Miles, and we cast her sister, Serena Colby, which is Maya Carpenter. We cast them that day, and from there, it just catapulted from there. I mean, we were able to... We filmed a very high quality product with little or no resources at all. And so,
So you, so basically you just went on faith with this.
I just basically went on, I had nothing. And I basically went, I just basically, you know, acted off of faith. It was really, it was on my heart really strong to do it, to do it. I shook it off, and I, you know, something kept telling me to do it, do it, do it. And when he called me and told me, come on, T, let's do this. And when he said that, I knew that, you know what, God must really want me to do it, because he never calls me. You know, we don't have, I mean, no, we have love for each other, but we don't, we didn't really talk on a regular basis. And for him to call me at that particular point let me know that we needed to go full speed ahead with the project. And so he's somebody who, you know, he had access to a lot of equipment. And so we got it done. You know, we got it done. I cast the first two characters, which are pretty main characters in the film. That day we held auditions at Peaches, and then that next weekend I was just receiving email after email from people, and getting referrals from people, and we, by that next week we were fully cast, and we started filming about a week after that, about 2 weeks after the initial first audition, we started filming.
So is the movie complete now, or are you still working on it?
We filmed, the film is now complete. We filmed the film from, we started filming in February. So all of February and all of March are weekends, because we're people, we, you know, we live our dream and we operate in our giftings, but we still got to go to work 9 to 5 too. So, So we were doing what we had to do. We were meeting up on the weekends. People were sacrificing their time, you know, coming to shoots and just being ready, delivering the lines. We didn't have a lot of time to rehearse, but we got it done. They got it done. And I just want to just thank everybody who was a part of the film, all of the actors, all of the cast, Derek Ross, Shanita Miles, Wade Carter, Carlos McCormick, Maya Carpenter, Michael Stark, Carlos Russell, Eric Talbert, and Malawi Tucker also, just for taking a part in the project. They did an awesome job, and for them to complete it, I mean, you know, people can start, I mean, they didn't get paid for this, but they stuck in there and they were professional as if they were getting paid for it. And we were able to produce, we were able to produce something very high quality. We submitted it to the American Black Film Festival, I think on March the 26th, and the deadline was April the 1st. So we just made the deadline when we got it submitted.
So it took you approximately a couple of months to film it. You said from February, you began filming in February, and you completed it in March.
We began filming in February, the beginning of February, and we finished filming literally at the end of March.
Wow!
And we did it. I didn't want to overdo it because, again, a lot of the cast have kids. Some of the cast have children. We have jobs, and so everybody's schedule that had to work with filming times, and so we would film on Saturdays and Sundays, and I wouldn't kill them. I wouldn't make them. We wouldn't do it all day, but we would get at least one major scene done in a weekend, and that's how we did it.
So you wrote it out. You did the screenwriting on it.
I did. I actually met up with Derek Ross, and if I didn't thank Derek Ross, I don't remember. But I'd like to thank Derek Ross also, who is the co-director, co-producer, and the cameraman, and the editor on the project. So I just wanted to thank him for all the hard work that he did. But, I basically took dialogue from the book, and I implemented it into film. And I did have to make some minor changes because, you see, the book is about over 300 pages, and so you can't get 300 pages worth of dialogue into a short film. It's not a feature film.
Right,
it's a short film, 20-minute film, so I had to find a way. I had to take the most dynamic scenes out of the book, and put it into this film, that would, you know, catch people's eyes and get people buzzing about it.
So it's a 20-minute film.
It's a 20, the, actually, a short film is 20 minutes. This film, after all the filming and everything, including credits, it's about 15 minutes and 5 seconds. Yeah.
Wow. Mhm. Well, so now you sent it to the
American Black Film Festival.
The American Black Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's going to go on once it gets to them?
Okay. Now, for those of you who don't know, the American Black Film Festival is a very big deal for upcoming screenwriters, filmmakers, authors. They have different categories. They have your you have your documentary, you have your feature film, your short, and your short film.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I submitted for short film. And basically, the winner of my category, the category that I submitted for, the winner gets an opportunity to write for HBO.
Wow.
So, yeah, like a lot of the winners that won in my category beforehand, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Degrassi, which was an HBO, it was an HBO show. It was like a soap opera for teens, for teenagers and young adults. Stomp the Yard, people who submitted for the Short Film Festival in years, they came along and wrote Stomp the Yard later on. So they were able to go and do big things because of the exposure that they got through the American Black Film Festival.
Right. Now, once they, once everything is over with, are you going to sell the film on DVD, or how are you going to deal with it after dealing with the Black Film Festival? How is people going to get to see it?
Yeah. What I'm going to do, it all depends. I'm still waiting. I haven't heard anything from the American Black Film Festival yet, but I'm praying, crossing my fingers, and believing that no news is good news. They've had it for over a month now, so I feel like I'm sure they viewed it, you know. I'm not sure. I know that after September, sometime in September of this year, you know, we would be basically free to submit it to whoever we want, providing that we won. Like, if we became finalists for, even to be a finalist would actually give us great exposure. But if we were to become finalists, basically the film would be locked into HBO. And it would be viewed on HBO also. We have an allotted time period that we would have to basically submit all rights to HBO until September. But after September is up, we could submit to other festivals as well. Most film festivals don't really, you don't necessarily have to have made the film specifically for that festival. It could have been viewed at other festivals. It's just the American Black Film Festival. You had to have no prior viewings. So you have had to really made the film for this festival. So the next thing we were going to submit to would be Lens on Talent, though.
Is who?
Lens on Talent, which is the BET.
Oh, Lens on Talent, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm definitely going to be, you know, hoping that everything goes well for you. And we have a caller with their hand up. Let's see if they have a question or a comment. Good evening, caller. Do you have a question or comment for Tamisha Tucker?
Good evening, yes. I have a comment. My name is Maya Carpenter. I'm actually one of the actors in the film. And
I've been listening to Miss Tamisha.
Hi. I've been listening to Miss Tamisha Tucker talking about the film, and I just wanted to just add something and just say how wonderful she was as a director and as a writer. I think she's an awesome writer, and I know she's going to continue to do well. And we are hoping to hear back from the American Black Film Festival and just hoping for some good news. And even if it's not, we know that we put out a good quality film that I think everybody would be happy to see and be pleased with.
Yeah, obviously, I'm very, I can't express enough this because I had never experienced anything of this magnitude before. I've never even thought about film. And it's not that I wasn't interested. It was that sometimes your mind doesn't think that big, you know. And when, you know, when God was telling me to think that big, I just wouldn't let myself, I guess, out of the fear and insecurity of failure. But the experience was so awesome, just to meet the people. We have truly bonded. I think everybody has truly bonded, and we've made lifelong connections, hopefully. And it was just a blessing. It was just fun. I just wouldn't trade it for anything. So we all really need it for different reasons, and we're all hoping that this is a thing that really catapults us to our next levels in life. So.
Yeah. Wow.
Yay.
Well, that's good. This is nice speaking with you. What did you say your name again was?
My name is Maya Carpenter.
Maya. It was nice speaking with you, and, you know, wish you well in the film as well. Rhea, do you have any questions for these young ladies or Tanisha?
For Tanisha. I've heard that it is a process converting a book into, okay, I know you did a movie, but the dialogue for a movie, is that anywhere similar to maybe the dialogue for a play?
I wouldn't know, because a play, right, and the screen, it's just so different.
It's different.
It's so different because with plays, you don't get a second chance to rerun it. Like, we thank God for editing. Thank God for take ones and take twos because, you don't get to do it over. I guess you could use the same dialogue you used in a book or a film for a play, but you with the playwright, and I'm not downing it anyway. I applaud anybody who can write and deliver a play. It's a huge and very difficult task, but you have to do it right the first time because you don't get a second chance.
Okay. Yeah, and I just want to add to that as well. Like, when it comes to plays, you're forced to exaggerate more versus a film. With a film, the camera's right in front of you, so it catches every emotion and every feeling. But on stage, you have to kind of exaggerate a lot of the emotions and, a lot of the, the body language.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. I was just curious as to, I guess, the process. Now, when September rolls around and you can utilize that film again, is that your whole goal, is just to submit it to the different festivals or entities of that sort, or would you in some way use it to, let's say, promote your book?
I wanted to be honest, I started off, the goal was to promote the book, and I figured, well, if I submitted the film to the ABFF1, that would bring so much notoriety and attention to the book, and the book sales would be great. But this whole process, I fell in love with the whole process, and it's something that I totally see myself doing now.
Okay.
Wow. That's really something because, taking a book and turning it into a movie or a stage play, it's always so much more in the book. But when you do a movie versus a stage play, what do you get more out of doing a stage play or a movie?
I've never done a stage play, so I wouldn't know. I've been to plays, and I like I said, again, I commend and applaud the actors and actresses and directors and the writers because you have to – I think a big difference, too, with plays is you have to do something different every night. You have to keep the audience captivated, and you can't give them the same exact show you gave them the night before. With the film, it just is what it is. You put it on film, and that's it. you can take out the mistakes. You could do some editing, some Photoshop, and, you know, I think I fell in love with the process of film. I wouldn't say I would never write a play, but right now I think I'm into the whole film thing for right now. We'll see what happens in the future. You never know.
Wow. Well, that sounds really good, because I was thinking myself about turning my first book. I've done a sequel to my first book, turning that into a stage play or a movie. I submitted it to a guy who has a production company in New Jersey, and at this particular time, he's not able to, you know, to do that. But I was also thinking on those lines as well. But, you know, I don't know how even to begin to to, you know, go about even, you know, writing for it, you know, a stage play or the movie. But, you know, just like you said, just maybe if I just step out there and just, you know, pick
just
up the pen
it.
And just go for it. Yeah, because that's, you know, that's been a dream of mine to turn my first book into a either a screenplay or, I mean, a stage play or a movie. You know,
it's so funny, Miss Gail. I don't know if I gave you. Do you remember interviewing a guy by the name of Dwayne Washington?
Dwayne Washington.
He wrote a book titled "Reputations Fade Away."
No, I don't
Never.
Remember that.
Okay, because I know that I gave you him as a contact. Now he's a guy local in the area, D.C. He wrote a book about the D.C. area, growing up in D.C., and he turned his book into a stage play, and it actually premieres in May the 13th.
Is this
next
the guy
Friday.
Who,
and,
I think, is this the guy who wrote a book about, was he from Southeast?
He was from Southeast, and him, he went through a lot with his family. It was a lot of chaos within his family, and like cousins and uncles. It was a story. It was a good story. Most of it was true. And he came up in Southeast. That's right. I think it was in Southeast DC.
Well,
I can definitely put you in touch with him. Yeah, I can put you in touch with him, and he's completed it with his stage play.
So
I can definitely put you in touch with him.
Okay, that'll work. That'll work, because and mind you, I'm not working with. I'm probably at the same the same place where you was at. You know.
Yeah. But
you know, so hopefully.
Let me just go. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, hopefully, you know, people will do because when I went to Kentucky, I did a movie with this guy, and I don't know when it's ever going to be out, but we did it.
Y'all filmed it.
Yeah, we filmed it, and you know, he keeps saying it'll be out, but probably whenever it gets out, I don't know. But, you know, basically the people were volunteering their services, you know, for him. So that's the kind of things that I'm looking for,
people to volunteer
their services, you know, because in the long run, they're going to get something out of it, even if it's just exposure.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody may see them in it, or, you know, they could see me in the movie and say, well, hey, you did real good, you know, come and do this, blah, 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 you know. And then I did it because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted the exposure, you know. So, you know, that's basically how I'm, you know, going to be looking at it like that, you know, volunteers to, you know, step up to the plate.
And basically that's what the whole, I feel like everybody that dealt with the film, that's what they did. We understood that it was a non-paid project. And we basically worked as if we were getting paid, because we all knew and we saw the potential and how big it could be. I think that when people read the script and when I told them about the characters, they believed in it. And people were coming out. Like, for instance, Peach's Cafe. We filmed the scene at Peach's Cafe and Lounge in Upper Marlboro, which is a very, very popular bar and lounge in the Maryland PG County area. And they didn't charge us anything. They let us come in. We filmed. And so people were very open with their resources. The guy who plays Benji is actually, he is a... an entertainer. He's a rapper, so he let us use a lot of his tracks in the movies.
Right.
Because there are so many rules with having music in your movie. Like, we couldn't just have anybody's music in the movie. We had to have music made for the movie, or had to get permission from a local artist who said, yeah, you can use my music. And so he let us use the music. And so it was just basically blessings from everywhere, people pitching in, helping, doing their part, and basically just, you know, we all have value blessing each other, basically, is what is how I was able to, or how we were able to complete the project.
Wow. Well, we have 1 minute left in the show, and I really appreciate you coming on tonight, Tamisha, and you've given us a lot of information, and I'm quite sure the viewers out there got a lot out of this call, and I'm going to you know, give you a call probably the weekend or even Monday, because this is Mother's Day weekend, and I know everybody's going to be, you know, getting their little dinners together and their little things they're going to be doing for their moms. And I'm definitely going to stay in touch with you, and I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you, Miss Gail. Thank you, Rhea. And I don't know if Maya's still on the phone, but thank you to Maya.
She's still on the phone.
Thank you.
And I'm going to... I'm going to have you back on again. So, you know, like I said, I'm going to keep in touch with you. I'll be giving you a call probably Monday.
Okay. All right. Real quick, the festival is July the 6th through July the 9th. We should be knowing whether or not we're going, whether or not we're going to be finalists by May the 27th, and I'll keep you posted, and I'll get that number to you also.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Continued successes to you. It sounds fascinating, and I'm going to have to look into getting your books.
Right.
I'll let you guys know as soon as it drops.
Okay, so our next week's show is a guy who grew up in Southeast, Ronald Yarborough. He's an actor, singer, writer. He's everything, but he'll be our next guest next week. With that being said, everybody have a good night. Thanks, Rhea.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tamisha, and everybody out there who's listening in the chat room, the flies on the wall. Everybody have a good night, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there and all the Mr. Moms. Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye. Bye.